the lessons you learn in life and in school are rarely the ones you think you're learning.
That's right, actually.
Secret, secret, I've got a secret.
That's going to be really loud. I'm sorry, everyone.
Don't worry about it. It's fine. I checked it.
Hey, guys.
I triple, double checked it, which is apparently the thing around the office now, at least between me and Amelia and myself.
Well, James, yeah, you're going to have to cut that out.
I'm going
to
bleep those out.
No, I mean like cut it out.
Oh.
Roll up.
I'll just do that weird warble thing on it. I mean, I did do the weird warble thing. But like when they censor rap lyrics.
I'm Kyle Hagan.
Kendrick Evans.
And this is...
Spitting in the stream of consciousness. One of these days, I'll put a reverb on there. When I'm less pissed off.
Reverb. Oh, so there's a few things that I think we'd like to talk about today. And I think today we're going to start with a little segment that I like to call Eventing. I wish I could find that music. Like, I don't know what to Google to get that, like, kind of, like, spring break horn sound.
I think if you just say annoying spring break horn sound, you'll probably find it. I mean, I did find that sound effect.
Really?
Yes.
The spring break horn sound?
No.
Oh, okay.
The other one you asked for, remember? Because it was many weeks in the past.
I don't remember.
Oh, well, you'll remember when you listen to the episode that's relevant. That's the bullshit one that I put together as a placeholder that we just used.
It's now becoming more than a placeholder.
More than a placeholder. No, the car crash sound.
Something. Oh, yeah. Like, okay, yeah,
yeah,
got it.
Remember? Yeah.
So eventing. So apparently, should I find the article? I should probably find the article.
You probably should. Article. There's a good chance at
did
this
I,
point
how
since
did
I found
send it to you.
I don't know.
G-chat.
Gmail. You send it Gmail. Gmail.
It's been a while. It's not current. I guess it's not eventing.
Well, no. Well,
yeah. Well, just say what you're gonna say. I'll stop in her. That's not words.
Expulsions.
Oh, you're just Facebook and driving, not actually.
No, I realized I should probably tell some people what was going on, and then Kevin's like, "What's your address?" And I
was like, "Check the event, bitch." Animal rights group PETA. I don't know if you heard of them.
Isn't that that character from that movie with the kids in it?
Yep.
That, the ones with the kids that fight
He started an organization that is calling for Warhammer fur clothing ban. So, I'll explain that in a second. So, let me read the whole thing without the jokes. Animal rights group PETA calls for a Warhammer fur clothing ban. So, not banned. God damn it. Do I do it a third time? Animal rights group PETA calls for a Warhammer fur clothing ban. So, and amongst the crazy, stupid shit that PETA does all the time, they sometimes do stuff that it comes off as incredibly funny because literally no one cares or no one's ever going to do it. And this is one of those things where, you know, if you didn't know, PETA is like the organization that used to like throw paint on fur coats at like the Grammys or like the award ceremonies.
Do
they do that still?
I believe they still
okay,
do.
Okay, well, to represent the blood of the animals you killed and to ruin your shit because you spent a lot of money on
we'll
dead that animal thing. Like, yeah, so,
I just
read the quote.
Read out loud. All
right, so basically they're like boycotting or, I don't know, doing something. They've written to the Games Workshop CEO to request a ban on the portrayal of fur clothing in the Warhammer and Warhammer 40K universe. So they're saying, hey, fantasy genre, make it so your characters don't wear fur.
Yeah.
Because that is a thing.
No. Read the quote.
I haven't gotten it to it yet.
Okay, well, the quote is where it's at.
From the mighty Leman Russ and Horace Lupcal to Chaos Warriors and the Sisters of Silence, Warhammer features an abundance of characters who wear what appear to be animal pelts, which just doesn't add up. These battle-hardened warriors are known for their martial prowess, but wearing the skins of dead animals does not take any skill. Draping them in what looks to be a replica of a dead animal sends the message that wearing fur is acceptable, when in fact it is no more placed in 2017 than it would be in the year 40,000. Out.
I gotta find that Adam Sandler bit. At no point in your rambling, nonsensical diatribe did you come anywhere close to a rational thought. We are all now dumber for having heard what you said. May God have mercy. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul. And the best part is even the picture that they showed, at least on the article that they showed, it's great because they picked one that has the fur and then, like, some skulls.
Yeah, so, like, the skulls are cool, but apparently the fur is just too much. There's fur on the back. He's got a helmet that looks like a skull. But
and I dig the thing about, you know, animal pelts. What was it? Animal pelts aren't that hard.
Like, it's not hard to kill animals, so well, why are you wearing
no,
the
no,
pelts?
It wasn't. No, it was a specific thing he said. There's a specific way he said it.
But wearing skins of dead animals doesn't take any skill.
Yeah, it takes substantially more skill than wearing linen, though.
Yeah, because you'd have to, like, get to do a lot.
At the very least, you gotta get it. I mean, like, it's like, I'm not for wearing, you know, animal pelts. I mean, like, I'm not for mink farming, right? Like, where they raise them and then skin them and whatever. Like, that's a bit much. But then I still wear leather, right? Like, which I guess I assume is a side effect of the beef process, so I'm already eating the things anyway. But I don't get why, in the grim darkness of the 41st millennium, I don't think PETA is still around.
Yeah, that's fair. I just don't, it's one of those things where, I've seen this actually a few other times, and not necessarily from PETA, but people in board gaming reacting to certain things, right? Where, basically, there's a game called Five Tribes, and it's meant to represent, I think, the five tribes of Israel. Maybe not Israel, but is it five tribes? Eight tribes?
I thought there were eight.
25 tribes? It's a game about the Middle East, or the area around the Middle East. And there are slaves in it, and you can get slaves from the marketplace, right? Yep. And people are like, this is ridiculous. You can't have slaves in the game. And it's like, wait, like, there was actually slaves in that time period, though. So like, what's the, like...
You run into that same whitewashing history kind of thing, right?
Yeah,
where
yeah.
You're trying to pretend that things weren't the way they were, which to me is insulting.
It's
to
exactly
everyone.
Exactly kind of the opposite of what he said in there, where wearing the furs makes people think it's okay. And I'm like, I don't necessarily know that that's true. Like, I'd like to see the group of people that's like, well, that miniature's wearing fur, so I'm gonna do it. And I'm like, I don't know.
And then we can just
that
suffocate
I,
that
yeah,
person.
Yeah, and then we can just, like, you know,
with our lives,
tell them to go swim in
humanity.
A pool of glycol. So.
Glycol?
Yeah, I mean, it's really thick, so you get stuck underneath it, and then you die.
That seems like a really expensive bit of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, so good. What?
I mean, fair.
So, like, I'm...
You tell them just to swallow a lot.
I don't know.
I guess,
lately, PETA seems like it's been, like, kind of going off the rails, like, requesting death threats for people that have been doing things to animals.
Yeah, they've been doxing, haven't they? I feel like that's...
Yeah, and... They've been spouting off crazy theories. Like, I was just looking through some of them, and it was like, meat milk is causing autism, and veganism is the only way to survive. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, they're a little...
like, it's like the Westboro Baptist Church.
Off
like,
the edge there,
they're
yeah.
just kind of, like, going off the wall, and I can't tell...
I think...
I don't understand that.
Like, I feel like it's that we've reached a level of, like, advancement and societal sophistication... where animal cruelty is no longer as acceptable as it was when PETA started.
Yeah.
And so they're, like, running out of things to do.
Yeah, we're like, there's not as much anymore.
Or they're not getting traction because people legitimately don't care about the suffering of certain livestock.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So they've got to do, like, combination of they're achieving things, and the things left to achieve are hard, so they have to just push even harder. But the problem is all they're doing, you know, if you push hard enough and you don't have any traction, you just push yourself out, right? Mm-hmm. Actually, that analogy worked perfectly. High five. Because
and much like PETA has pushed itself out of the, you know, social scene in ways that we can't even describe, we're going to push this topic out of Sensoc.
Yeah, we're going to push it out like a turd.
The other thing I'd like to talk about today, which I didn't watch, so I don't know if we should talk about it.
Okay.
Do you want to?
I don't remember what this was.
I was talking to you about it earlier today.
That's very possible.
It was...
I did not get a chance to review that either, but that's perfect, because then we don't come from an informed place. We come from a Sit Sock place.
A Sit Sock place. A Sit Sockian mindscape.
Bombastic and vaguely remembered shit.
So.
That should be our new title. Bombastic and vaguely remembered shit.
Okay.
And it'll be...
I'll write that down.
Bavrush.
No, I'm not... I mean, I'm changing the podcast, but I'll
Bavrush.
Write... Bavrush. What did you just say to me?
Bombastically... bombastic and vaguely remembered shit.
Okay.
That's probably the title when you clicked on this, guys. Probably. If it's not, then you know there's a cooler title coming. That's how this goes. For you meta listeners.
Okay.
Which is just me, I guess.
God damn it, it's so hot in this car.
Stop. It's going to keep warming up because it's trying to warm it to 68 degrees, and it's 28 degrees outside. So
I know.
You still have your seat heater on.
I know. It's a mistake.
There.
Jesus. I'm a big body.
That florist is all right, by the way. It's very weird. But anyway, don't hug me. I'm scared.
I'm just going to do a better intro than that. But
okay. I'm sorry. Would you like to try an intro?
No.
Go ahead. Mm-mm. Do it. Mm-mm. Do it.
I was going to say, a few years ago, back in 2011... I think that's when it came out.
My intro was way better.
There was a terrible video. So, the first time I saw this video, it was like a reaction video, I think, of people watching it. Mm. And then I was like, what is this shit? Like, what is this video? And you go watch it, and it's just one of those kind of... would you compare it to Salad Fingers, Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared?
Yeah, I put it in the same category of not quite shock videos, but WTF videos.
Yeah, WTF videos, I think, is the best one. So... Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared was made by two individuals that I can definitely remember the name of while Kendra keeps talking.
And they made it in an effort to completely bewilder and baffle people on the internet and have refused to provide a consistent or uniform explanation as to why they made it or the subsequent five episodes. As a result of this, in much like Bob Dylan's writings, they have actually spawned an incredible number of fan theories that they don't ever shoot down that are completely contradictory and make even less sense than the original source material.
So, by Becky Sloan and Joseph Pelling are the two from the UK that
excellent actually, memory, Kyle Hagen.
That actually created this abomination that is in the genre of puppetry, horror, comedy, and animation on Wikipedia.
All true.
Yes.
Part of it is shocking, part of it is weird. Part of it's musical.
And so it's meant to kind of show a child series.
It's clearly taken in the context of a children's puppet show.
Yeah, kind of
like
Sesame Street or, you know.
It's really what it is. It's a fine British one. So if you go to some of the British ones, I don't remember their names. Teletubbies is not a good one. But there are a lot of British shows that are like that. Combination of puppets and people in suits. And then, like, a real person walks in. They've got weird makeup on. And that's kind of, like, those weird shows. We had a little in the 70s and sort of like Sesame Street, but less educational, more weird and, like, uncomfortable. They had, like, dozens of them all the way through the 60s, 70s, and 80s and 90s, I think, even. They still had them.
Like Eureka's Castle, but...
Kind of. I mean, like, it's a whole bunch of weird shit. And this is sort of... It's a love note. But it's written in blood.
Yeah.
With sparkles.
The first... Each episode covers a topic that you would see covered on like a kid's show.
Yeah.
The first one is about like creativity, I think.
Creativity.
The second one is about time. This is that thing you wear on your wrist.
Time is the thing, yeah.
The third one is about
love.
It's about love. And the fifth one... The fourth one...
Numbers are hard.
What? Is there fourth six one, of them or five?
There's six, I thought.
Okay, so the fourth one
is about food. Or no, computers.
Computers, yes, that's right.
I think.
Yeah, that's right.
It's kind of about computers. The fifth one is about food.
Food. And then the sixth one is about dreams at first?
The sixth one, I don't think, is about a thing.
I mean, you could have a dream.
Yeah, it's sort of about dreams, I guess. Yeah, let's go with dreams.
It's supposed to cover dreams, and then it goes to something else.
They all do.
Yeah. And so, they always kind of start off very innocent. Even the last one. But
yeah. And they end horrifying after slipping through macabre.
Yeah, so they all go to, like, this kind of weird state where you're like, okay, I guess I'm still learning about the thing that they're talking about.
That got
about.
A little weird. That's a human organ hanging out.
Oh, wow.
From
oh,
something.
God.
Okay, he's
so that's why you see the reaction videos, because people, like, don't expect those exactly what's happening.
It's worth noting that I hated it when I first saw it. I watched the first three episodes. Those were out when I first saw it. And I thought it was the dumbest thing I had ever seen. And legitimately feared for y'all's mental capacity. And that maybe there was some illness going around or something, because you all seemed seriously screwed up in the head bones. Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, we are, but I get what you're saying.
So that concerned me, and I hated the series. And then eventually, whatever brain slug thing finally caught me too, and then I started to appreciate it. I still don't know that I would call it good.
Yeah.
But I would. I understand. I have an understanding of it now.
It's like one of those things where you, if you, to me, if you watch it enough, you start to like think things about it are funny, and your friends start to think.
It's like a Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, like, and so you'll start quoting it to your friends, and they'll laugh, and so you'll have this kind
of
like.
It's the YouTube equivalent of smoking.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not good for you. It's not cool. But you keep doing it.
Definitely.
Partially because your friends do it. But now you can't stop, and you'll probably die from it.
Yeah, that's fair. So, some people have talked about... you should go watch them. I don't think we're going to spoil too much about...
I think the problem is that most of our listeners are familiar with it.
Your parents
don't
are?
Like it. Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
Yeah,
the interesting things that come out of it are some of the fan theories, I think, are they're kind of interesting to look at. So
it's fascinating to me because I don't believe that the original material contains any cohesive meaning.
Really?
Yes.
Even though they purposely put things in there to match up in all the episodes. Okay.
I think that you can do that without meaning.
Yeah. Okay.
And without significance. You can put
signifiers. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Without significance.
And it's not like just coincidence that they use the same calendar.
No.
It's more
the
like...
same calendar, and they explicitly do it there, and they explicitly make use of this, and they explicitly put the other yellow dude in. They explicitly do this, and they do that very specifically. And you don't actually have to have meaning behind it. In fact, the more nonsensical the thing is, the artifact you introduce, the more interesting it becomes to other people.
That's fair.
So, like, the date, pointless. But they keep putting it in the middle of the screen. So you know it's important. But that doesn't mean that it is, right? They're just playing with your perceptions. I think it's a masterful manipulation of, quite simply, vacuous content.
Huh.
That's completely without any semblance of significance or subtext or meaning. Because when you don't have anything, all theories are equally valid.
Really?
If you think about it.
I disagree. So I guess I haven't seen as many as you have, so maybe this is why I disagree with you. But the one that I was presented and saw actually made a lot of sense from the creator's perspective. So like things that they would comment on as artistic individuals in the modern-day UK. Where, like, the ideas of television teaching things and all this stuff come through, and the date is the date when, like, a certain thing happened in the UK that bred this kind of television-based learning thing, blah, 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 blah. So, and I guess, yeah, you're right. I mean, people can come up with theories all they want, but it's the theories that seem to have a lot of, like, more correlation than less that seem to be more valid, right?
Well, and that's part of the thing, is if you have through lines that are consistent, all you have to do is tie them together. And you'll find all kinds of crazy similarities, right?
I guess I'd like to see some of the other ones that you saw that kind of are like off
yeah,
the
go
wall.
Go watch them because lots of people have come up with their own theories. I mostly scroll through a Reddit page.
Oh, okay.
And
that's probably a good one to go to.
Well, yeah, because it was a whole bunch of completely contradictory yet equally consistent assertions. And it was fascinating.
So you're saying there's no valid source for understanding conspiracy
theory? I would say
theory?
That there's no non-invalid one.
There's not, yeah, okay.
I mean, they're all equally valid because there's no meaning. I don't think there's meaning. But I'm a firm believer in nonsense for nonsense's sake. Especially as a sort of late wave post-secular humanist Dadaism.
Dadaism? What is that?
Dadaism. You can look that up there, folks. But what Dadaism is, It's a wave of art, aesthetic, and movement really that came out in the early 20th century. I want to say it was not the 40s; it was before the 40s. I want to say, and the very first piece that I'm aware of was at a French sculpture exhibit, and somebody presented a urinal placed upside down on the ground with the title "Fountain." Basically to fuck with people.
So it is exactly that nonsensical kind of...
It is. And it led to a whole... It actually kind of spun out into its own really weird shit. But that's what sort of led to this modern, I mean, it was around the same time that political nihilism was really taking off. So that sort of meaning is only projected by the viewer. There is no intrinsic value or meaning in anything. That kind of attitude was starting to take off. And so you have all kinds of sheer absurdity. It was also mocking this nascent and now very prevalent artistic concept of, oh, well, this piece represents the struggle of humanity to retain its purity against the invasive manipulations of the ego and the superego as it forces against the id of the individual. Like, it's a white square on a slightly wider background.
It's interesting that you say that, because that's how I feel about, like, a lot of, like, overanalyzed literature.
Yes.
But I guess it's interesting that I'm being a hypocrite here, because it feels like there's a lot heavier of a through line through "Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared" when I'm hearing it from the person I'm hearing it from. And yes, I haven't heard as valid arguments about a lot of literature that I've seen. Like,
that one of the reasons for that is that a lot of literature stands on its own, and so you can look at it and reason it through yourself and arrive at different conclusions, which makes it hard to accept what other people are saying.
Okay.
But with this thing, there is no logical thing. There is no, it's nonsense. It's 100% nonsensical. There's nothing you can glean meaning from unless you really try at it, right? And so people who really try at it have an advantage on you, because they sit there and they've worked this whole thing out, so they can present a very compelling argument. But it's this whole thing of, you can project an awful lot onto nothing, right? Humans, it's a literary or audiovisual equivalent of pareidolia, where you actually have to see patterns. Humans are hardwired to see patterns and similarities and through lines.
Well,
and
if
narratives.
Humans were hardwired to see them, wouldn't they be, like, why are they not conversely hardwired to make them?
I don't see how that follows.
Well, I do. I mean, if we're seeing patterns wherever we go, those patterns are going to come out in our work.
Well, your pattern, you can see colors and shapes, but can you perfectly replicate them?
I don't think it matters if I can perfectly replicate something.
Are you driven to constantly reproduce all of the things you consume?
I do blog and a podcast, because I listen to read blogs
you,
and listen
to make,
podcasts.
Do you make card games?
I wish I could.
But you don't.
Not yet.
So, I don't see where it follows that you'd be compelled, where you'd be obligated to. I suppose I could see where there'd be motivation to, but I think that's really where the art in this is, okay, in that they're not doing that. They're rather explicitly not doing that.
Okay, that makes sense. Like, they're choosing not to.
They're going out of their way to create a piece completely void of any meaning.
I guess I can say that the first times I watched it, when I was looking at it, I did not try to pull any meaning out of it. And I don't know if that means anything about it inherently or me, but I can see, like, that I wasn't, like, looking for, like, I wasn't sitting there like, what does it all mean, Kendrick? What does it mean? I was just like, this is kind of funny because there's a human heart there.
And I watched it like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Is that a human heart there?
Yeah, but see, I guess neither of us were looking for, like, something greater, some kind of message. When you often read things, do you look for messages?
It depends on the context, right? Like, sure. If I'm reading a novel.
How about, yeah, okay.
Like a novel, I usually am trying to, I'm not usually trying to predict the storyline unless it's really leading
me
into it.
Are you looking for, because I guess it is inherently incorrect to say that every novel has some kind of commentary on the milieu or on the environment that it was written in.
It could or it couldn't.
Okay.
I guess for me, I don't usually give two shits.
That's what I'm saying, is that I don't either.
Implicit in a thing.
Which is why it
was
hard for
me. But that's not necessarily the same thing as having a context. I mean, there's commentary and then there's subtext, right? Those are slightly different things.
Oh, so maybe what I'm saying that is that I think there's commentary in "Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared," but maybe there's not an actual, like, meaning to it all, right?
I can appreciate the distinction that you've made. But I would again assert that there's not.
Okay.
But I can see that I see what you mean when you make that distinction.
Okay. And so, like, that's interesting too, because I don't, like, read or listen to, like, Dresden Files to understand Jim Butcher's, like, view on Chicago in the 1990s or whenever the fuck Dresden Files takes place, and, like, how
it's really a commentary on the overpower or on the increasing alienation of the youth in a law enforcement context, and how they're routinely looking to the private sector, symbolized by the wizard, for hire, for solutions to their problems. Yet his ineptitude inevitably requires intervention from the police and other forces that are establishment oriented. In an effort to prevent him from hurting himself, yet he still is the main one driving the plot forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's asinine. I made that up, and that's stupid.
Yeah, and so that's why I kind of don't do it, is because that's how I viewed, and that's the problem I have with, like, taking an English class in college and making it be a requirement in the sense of, like, doing a literary analysis class. Like, public speaking, technical writing, those are things that seem useful to me in the context of, like, actual...
You used that word that doesn't necessarily apply to general education.
Yeah. Useful? Oh, sorry.
Liberal arts degrees are not intrinsically useful.
Yeah, so, but gen ed courses should generally be, right?
No.
I mean, math.
I mean, they're general. That's one. Most people don't find math useful in their day-to-day life, either.
Well, they don't find it useful versus if it's actually useful are two different things.
Define.
Meaning, like, well, I don't use math at all, and yet they're, like, sitting there calculating tips or something like that. Like,
did they learn that in college?
I don't know if they had to learn it in college or not, but any kind of math skills isn't improving all of your math skills because addition is used all throughout math. Like, regardless if it's calculus or...
So, I mean, college-level math being remedial, basic, pre-algebra.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
I don't know.
What are you considering? Because gen ed's is...
I guess it's the reinforcement of basic tenets of mathematics that are used every day, and taking college classes can help you solidify those basic tenets, even if you don't understand how, like, algebra is going to help you in your daily life.
I would like to know how algebra helps most people in their day-to-day life. I like algebra, and I think it's important to know.
I don't think that solving for X helps people in their daily life, unless you're, like, you know, calculating tip at a restaurant or try to find, like, proportions of things, like, or solve how much of X is an X or how many cups are in a thing, right?
But those aren't algebraic.
They could be expressed algebraically.
They could be, but they're not. They're expressed arithmetically.
Okay, carry on. You may.
So when I'm calculating a tip, I'm not writing out an equation, reducing the terms, and moving it around. I'm multiplying it by 0.2 or 0.1 or 0.15 or 0.25 or whatever.
So you're trying to find out how much
I'm dividing.
Okay, I guess you're right. You're not solving.
I'm using what I learned in
it's still solving for something, right?
Sure, but I'm using skills I learned in middle school.
Which wasn't that pre-algebra?
Possibly, but it's not something I learned in college.
Oh, okay.
It's not collegiate level math.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying. And so I'm saying that you got to be careful of drawing the distinction of things you value.
But you just said something you learned in sixth grade was what some people are learning in college, right?
I was asking what you meant by college level math in a gen ed, because the whole point of it was gen ed should be useful, and I disagree with that assertion.
You disagree with that they are useful.
That they are intrinsically useful.
But you don't disagree with the fact that they should be
useful. I don't know that it's a liberal arts degree's purpose to be useful to you.
Okay. So
if you wanted a training program or an education that was intrinsically useful, you go to something like a trade school, because you can be sure that if you go to get a welding certification, everything you're taking is going to be useful.
Okay.
Because you're not going to take a philosophy of
welding. What about like if you get a Bachelor of Sciences? Is that that's different than a liberal arts degree, right?
Well, I mean, if you're getting a Bachelor of Science, like of which?
Like a chemistry. You have a Bachelor of Science versus a Bachelor of Arts for
chemistry.
Well,
if you went and got a degree in chemistry,
I think the Bachelor of Arts is more of the trade school, like,
well,
chemistry,
I mean,
degree, right?
I would say that if you're looking for a general education degree at a liberal arts school, there's a lot of things that they're trying to expose you to expand your mind and show you things that you may not be good at or may not use, but they're academically interesting, as opposed to things like a trade school where you're learning a specific trade and to become proficient at it to make a living.
Sure. So what I'm saying is that is a Bachelor of the Arts degree different than something? A Bachelor of the Sciences degree is something different than what you get at a liberal arts
school? Well, I only went to a liberal arts school, so okay. I don't know about the curriculum at a bachelor, somewhere that would offer a Bachelor of Science. Do they exclude things like humanities?
You were talking about it like you knew about it, so you knew about, like,
I'm
the
familiar
whole,
with trade
thing.
Schools.
Okay.
I'm not familiar. It's my understanding that Bachelor of Science is still... contains general education courses, which
maybe I the only reason I know is because there's people who actively look for Bachelor of Science degrees over Bachelor of Arts
mostly
degrees,
it's so. That if you I mean a BA in chemistry is not as valued at certain higher education facilities as a BS,
which
why that is I can't say, but I would also assert that it's not the purpose of any of these higher education institutions to instill useful skills as much as academic skills, like, definitionally that's the point, right?
Sure.
Like, when you went, how many chemistry classes did you take?
Well, then wouldn't the general education classes be more for expanding how you think about things and less about expanding, like,
precisely,
what your general knowledge
things
is?
Like learning the advanced reasoning behind mathematics, learning ways of investigating and interrogating literature and projecting meaning into it, things like how to speak in front of people and formulate rhetoric, which actually is probably more useful than anything else. So these exact, in that context, that's exactly what those, like, lit theory is doing, even if it's stupid.
Well, I still hate it, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I still hate it as well. Don't get me wrong. But I think that it's an academic adventure. Now, to be honest, I actually learned a lot from lit theory, though I didn't take many classes in it.
I wish I would have had a different lit theory teacher, because I probably would have as well.
I learned a lot that has nothing to do with what was taught.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean, is that, like, all I learned from my lit theory class is I think lit theory is stupid because of, like, and the ideas is, presented in that class.
This is coming from me being a contrarian all throughout most of my life. What I learned from lit theory was how to, what it looks like when someone is projecting shit.
Yeah, right.
And I learned how to watch for that.
Okay.
I'm not great then at I guess it, but that's that, a thing I learned from it.
In that sense, I can actually agree that that was probably a useful course for me to take.
See, the trick for that I learned from higher education, I wished I'd have known better when I was in it, was that the lessons you learn are often nowhere in the curriculum. And that's where we've wandered because of Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. The lessons you learn
in life and in school are rarely the ones you think you're learning.
That's right, actually. It's a good point.
And it's like, it's not about the stuff you put on the test. It's about it's about the stuff around it.
Which is why teaching the test pisses me off so much.
Well, it teaches, you know what teaching the test teaches kids?
To only
retain knowledge only as long as necessary, jettison it as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Memorize pointless facts that are easily researchable later on. And eliminate problems into easily solved categories. Learning to reduce your choice set to make decisions easier. Okay. As opposed to thinking out. That's why they call it thinking outside the box, because we've been training people for 100 years or more to only look at four options. Pick which one of these four. It's like, well, okay, so what are you training to do in life? Life has four options. This choice has four options. There's only whatever, right? That's what you're subconsciously getting trained to do. So when it comes to things like answering, you know, in real life, that's kind of what you've been doing your whole life.
Yeah.
Multiple choices make people comfortable because of that kind of educational framework.
Me, like, second guess myself all the time. Because I'm like, wait, that one sounds kind of right. But these other ones sound also kind of right. Oh, God, what do I do? And then, like, it's just, like, becoming different.
Right. Test taking is an everyday skill, air quotes, that you've learned all through grade school and college. And all it really prepares you for is filling out paperwork, which people suck at anyway.
That's fair.
So
I guess I get into certifications when I think about test taking and teaching to a test, where it's like, I don't actually have to know anything. I just know how to take this test right. And you're like, well, you're not wrong, but you're someone I don't want
to
work with.
Yeah, and certifications to me, especially in my sector, I have zero respect for.
And that's why I have a problem with them. Is because of that same thing you just said. Because I've been seeing a lot lately that the people who are certified, air quotes,
yeah,
are the people that are the hardest to work with.
And I've met plenty of people that suck at tests that are fine employees and fine coworkers.
Like me.
I was great at tests. And I'm a terrible employee. So.
And that's where we'll end it today. Kendrick's terrible but good at tests. And Kyle's terrible at tests.
The education system is screwing you because Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared.
Oh my God.
There's your meaning.
See you later, everyone.
Wait, what's the beginning part? There was something. Oh, and don't wear fur.
Yeah, because
fucking... But wear skulls.
Oh, wow. Is it the people who would be inclined to wear fur from seeing it on a miniature are also the same ones who need certifications to determine if they're good at things?
Yeah, and don't hug them.
Because they're scared.
Yep.
I don't know.